Father, thank you for Jesus, who keeps on making ways, opening doors, bringing us through. Father, thank you for our graduates. Thank you for their success. Thank you for their achievement. Thank you for their willing to push through. Thank you for their village, God, that helped to push them through. God, thank you for the saints coming together, praying, praising, and pushing through so that we can please you. Father, as we come to this preaching moment, we need you, and we can't make it without you. So we ask, Father, that you would preach this sermon to our souls. In the name of Jesus, we do pray and give thanks. Amen. 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 To God our Father, Jesus our Savior, to the Holy Spirit, who is the Paraclete, who comes alongside to help and aid us in this thing we call life. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I almost say one last time. Lord Jesus, I don't want to be rolled in here. Well, he did say it was his last time. No, I rebuke that. The devil is a lie. I will stand and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to thank God for our pastor for giving us this opportunity to share in his stead. Always grateful for his trust. Got a good friend here today, Pastor Michael Wallace from St. Louis, Missouri. Can you give my friend a hand? Amen. Wave your hand, Mike. Yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy. I know all of his business. And I'm such a friend, I ain't gonna tell it to you. Amen. Amen. Let me get to work here. Imagine arriving at your graduation. Walking into an arena that is filled with people who have gathered together from near and far in great excitement to celebrate you and your classmates as you receive your diploma or your degree. Some of you are thinking back at that moment, how good that moment felt. The faculty and staff were dressed in full regalia. The color guards have taken their posts. The choir has rendered classical selections befitting the occasion. The keynote speaker has delivered an inspiring commencement address. And now you're in line, ready for your name to be called, to hear your name echoed over the sound system. Your name is called. Applause fills the room. You walk across the stage, you receive your diploma and your degree. But just as you step off the stage and smile to take your next photo, you're handed something unexpected. It's a packet. And out of curiosity, you open the packet and it reads, "Congratulations, you've just been enrolled in the University of Adversity." You turn your head up, lean to the side, look back at the letters, and find out you soon discover that this is a school where there's no syllabus for heartbreak. This is a school where there's no midterm that prepares you for betrayal. Here at this school, there's no coursework on how to handle spiritual warfare, or how to recover from disappointment. Here at this school, the tests come before the teaching. Pain becomes the professor, and life becomes the classroom. As in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead, you will be enrolled in a different kind of classroom. One that is without test books, PowerPoints, or Zoom links. Though you didn't apply, somehow you found yourself enrolled. Truth is, what your transcript doesn't tell you is, even though this chapter or certain chapters in your life are complete, your learning is far from over. There is a curriculum that is connected to every Christian that we must endure. And I thought I'd take this moment to speak to these graduates, but also us who are in the faith, about what's coming our way. So with that thought, I want to talk from the subject, Lessons from the University of Adversity. Lessons from the University of Adversity. Our text today is found in Luke chapter number 22, verses 31 through 32. Here the word of the Lord says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you so that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." To add perspective to this reading, I want to read from the Gen Z voice that I got from ChatGPT. The Gen Z voice of this remix says, Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, yo, pay attention. Satan's been begging to mess with you. Like, seriously, he wants to shake your life up, sift you like wheat, and see if anything real is left. But don't trip. I already prayed for you. And I asked God to keep your faith from failing. And when you bounce back, because you will, go help your people. Strengthen them with what you've learned." All the ratchet people say amen. Lord, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. You weren't fooling me. I knew it. I knew it. First thing I need to tell you is, at this university, you must recognize that the enemy is after you. The enemy is after you. Satan, Simon, Satan has demanded to have you so that he can sift you as wheat. Here in this passage of scripture, we are intentionally guided by the penmanship and lens of the gospel writer, historian, and physician Luke. Luke, in so many aspects, begins to highlight and put on display the preeminent events that precede Jesus's journey to Calvary. The setting of this text is one that we all know, and it is fly, move. Move, fly. I'm trying to preach. All right. The setting of this scene. So, y'all praying for my mind, right? The setting of this scene places us in a place where we all know and love, are known as the upper room in Jerusalem. As the disciples are gathered together around the table of what would become known in Christendom as the Last Supper. They're there at this table and they're having a conversation, and the conversation comes right before Jesus enters into purpose. And as this passage unfolds, Luke gives us a tense insight and a pivotal moment of three waves, and he shows us how Satan is after us. He shows us that at this point, the scribes and the priest are looking to eliminate and kill Jesus. Luke shows us a moment where Satan will enter disciples, because now he successfully entered Judas. And then not only will he do that, but he'll disrupt the discourse, because the disciples at the table are stuck debating about their status especially around the question of who's the greatest of them all. And Jesus gets sick. He gets sick of it. And so what he does is he leans in and he says, you know who the greatest is? The one who's not superior, but the one who's humble. And Jesus says, the one who looks to be served is not the greatest, but the greatest is the one who's always looking to serve. Church, that's the backdrop of this. But the sad reality of this is the timing of the conversation. Because this is happening just hours before our Lord and Savior would be arrested. And he would commit his crucifixion. And it's clear by the table talk that the disciples are totally unaware of the persecution that was coming their way. They didn't understand what was on the horizon and how their life was getting ready to be shaken up. Jesus grips the conversation and he says, y'all are going to have to stop fighting with each other and begin to fortify yourself. Because Satan, your enemy, is after you. And here's what Satan knows for those of us who are distracted by Satan's plots and plans. Because it shows up in church more than anywhere else. Satan knows that if we're busy fighting each other, we'll never bind together and fight him. And he knows that. But for whatever reason, disciples can sometimes be driven to distraction by making enemies look like one another. But I'm grateful that the Lord understands and sees what we don't see. Because he'll come in and he'll show us in the midst of our dissension and disunity that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. So let me tell somebody this. People are not your enemy. Even if they're being used by the enemy. And child of God, you've got to learn how to tap into your spiritual eye and see that there's a fight going on in the spiritual realm and it's trying to manifest in the natural realm. Jesus is clear on this. So Jesus begins to take a pastoral privilege and he says, everybody at this table, everybody that's connected to me, in proximity of me, is getting ready to experience spiritual warfare. Church, make no mistake about it. At this point in time, the forces of Satan are moving. I already told you that Judas is getting ready to betray him. Peter's getting ready to deny him. And the others are getting ready to forsake him. There's some brewing in the spirit realm. And it is here where Jesus teaches us a valuable lesson. Please don't miss this, church. That oftentimes, persecution comes as a prerequisite for purpose. Jesus shows us that when you're getting ready to walk into purpose and experience a shift in your life, in your marriage, your relationships, your ministry, and your future, you can anticipate some expected persecution. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to come from people who are in your proximity. Oh, let me work a while. Jesus is sitting at the table with people who he has partnered with, those who he has prayed for, those who he has served selflessly, he's provided for generously, he's given opportunities to endlessly, he's mentored intentionally, and he's shared in life's moments intimately. But these are the very people who are going to abandon him. One is going to betray him. One is going to deny him. The others are going to scatter. He carries a cross meant for them. Here's the lesson for all of us. Church, there are going to be seasons in your life where the same people you carried will cut you. The ones you supported will be the ones that stay silent. Those who you remain loyal to will sometimes disown you. And there are going to be moments where when people kick dirt on your name while wearing the shoes you gave them. And they'll even go so far to corral a crew of critics to come against you who really don't know you but ain't got enough sense to come to you and exhibit Christ-like character. We're often cut by those we carry. And oh, Church of God, that means you're on the promotion list. Because when people start acting funny, that's when you're on the promotion list. Oh yeah, church. When folks start fueling gossip, that's when you're on the promotion list. When folks choose to avoid to get the full story because they never liked you to begin with, that's when you're on the promotion list. And so somebody will just look at somebody and say, congratulations, you made it. Because even when other folks fall short, God shows us in this season how to love even when people hurt you. And how to stay faithful when God has allowed the sifting to take place. The Bible says that Jesus turns his attention to Peter and he says to him, Satan has some schemes for you, and they're scheduled and they're on arrival. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has a desire to sift you like you're wheat. What's so interesting about this is that Jesus begins this address, but he doesn't call him by the name that he's changed him to. He calls him by the name he was when he selected him. And Jesus reminds us, calls him by his old name because he started acting like his old nature. And if we're honest today, there's some of us in here today who understand that there's still some of the old us in us. You ain't fooling nobody at 10 o'clock in the morning. There's some stuff about us that's still in us that God is trying to sanctify, that God is trying to get out of us. And there's some stuff in our BC days that show up after our BC days. And sometimes God got to hold the reins. He calls him by his old name because he had to remind him, Simon, that's where you were, but this is who I've called you to be. Start being who I called you to be. Jesus tells Peter, behold. In other words, be aware, attentive, pay attention. Because Satan, your adversary, the accuser, the antagonist, the deceiver, the father of lies, has a desire to have you. But Peter, he don't just want you. He wants the other disciples too. And he wants the disciple that's coming after you. Peter, I need you to lean in. I need you to look. I need you to listen up. Because Satan has asked for you. He's begged for you. He's lobbied for you. And in some cases, he has demanded possession of you. Peter, don't miss that Satan is after you. Church member, don't miss that Satan is after you and that he has a fixation for you. And that he's persistently pursuing you. The original reading of this text sounds something like this. Satan has obtained you by asking for you. Which means that God gave him access and permission to bother you. To pick on you. And church, I looked at this passage and I got to scratching my head, Dr. Burks, because I wondered, God, why would you do that? And then God told me, Cam, I don't just answer your prayers. Sometimes I'll answer Satan's prayers too. And then I got to asking the question, what do you do when God gives Satan access to you? You see, Satan can operate, but he has to operate in the limitations and the boundaries and the perimeters that God has set. And I wanted to know, God, why would you allow this to happen? Jesus lets you know and me know today, and Peter, he says, well, it's because he wants to sift you. I hope you're listening to me this morning. But because we've taught you how to celebrate, but we don't teach you how to suffer. And that's why when you start suffering, you leave God and everything connected to God, because we never grounded you in the sifting process. So I want to share, because everybody on this row is getting ready to deal with something that you've never dealt with before. And every row after that, somebody in this building, you will be sifted by Satan. Jesus lets Peter know he wants to sift you. What does that mean? When wheat is harvested, it would grow not only with wheat, but with weeds. They call it the chaff. And the planter doesn't necessarily want the weeds. They want the wheat. They don't want what's useless. They want what's useful. And so in order to get the best from what has grown together, they have to put the wheat and the weeds in a sieve. And as they are putting it through the sieve, they began to shake it aggressively, put it through a separation process. And when they get done shaking it, they throw it up in the air. And as they throw it up in the air, the weeds go that way, and the good stuff, the grain, falls back where it's supposed to be. So much so that they take what's not needed for what's necessary. And I need to tell somebody, God will allow you to go through this stuff so he can separate the good from the bad. I need to tell somebody here that Satan has been stalking you. Oh, you ain't got to get one of them apps on your phone to see who's been looking at your page. Satan been stalking you. And he's been sizing you up so that he can shake you, separate you from God, your faith, your calling, and so that you can abandon your assignment. Up until this point, the Lord gave them permission, gave Satan permission to agitate them. But now they were getting ready to be shaken. And he was after their witness. He was after their weakness. He wanted to ruin their reputation, injure their integrity, disprove their authenticity. But more importantly, he wanted to destroy their faith. But God, why? Why do you allow this to happen? It's quite simple. God always inspects what he expects. If you are planting, you don't just plant and don't check on your plants. You got to go out there and inspect, because you are expecting something. And so sometimes God will allow the same tactics, trials, tribulations, and temptation that Satan wants to break you to build you. While Satan is using the test and trial to destroy and discredit you, God is using it to develop you before he deploys you. Satan wants to prove, church, that you're not worth the investment. That his thoughts, his plans, his purposes about your life are all in vain. Because if you're going to go through this season, he's got to disprove you. But the good news is, church, sometimes God, through Satan, will accomplish his plan for your life as you're going through the shaking and the sifting season. God got to get all of the stuff out of you that's preventing you from him fully being able to use you. And sometimes your struggles will come so that God can get the best out of you. Satan is assaulting you, but God is altering you. And so let me just say it like this. What the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for your good. Somebody here can testify. I got a target on my back. I've been going through all kinds of hell, high water, but I trust that God is preparing me for greater. My brothers and sisters, whenever Satan petitions you, you got to realize it's because he sees potential in you. Satan don't bother nobody who ain't got potential. And if you wouldn't, and if you were not a threat, you wouldn't be a target. You don't believe me, do you? If you look at this passage in Luke chapter number 22, Peter is getting ready to deny Jesus. He's getting ready to fall, fumble, and fail. But in Acts chapter number 2, Peter is standing bold, tall, preaching the gospel, and 3,000 people come to Jesus. Let me tell you this. Satan is not after you because of your present reality. He's after you because of your future destiny. And somebody here needs to know that he sees what you don't see. And if he can get you to quit today, forfeit today, give up now, then you won't see what God said about you was actually true. You won't see that God has a plan and a future and a hope and a dream and a business and a husband and a wife and a child that goes to college and a purpose for your life. He ain't worried about your today. He's worried about your tomorrow. He doesn't want it to manifest. Second, you must remember that the Lord has covered you. Don't forget this. The Lord has covered you. But I have prayed for you that your faith don't fail. Jesus tells Peter that even though Satan is after you, and he's looking to pull away your faith, he said, I already saw it, dog. I saw you was finna go through this semester. I saw that you were getting ready to be tempted. I saw you were getting ready to deal with this stuff. That's why I prayed for you. I prayed for you, Peter. And Jesus says to Peter, in my omniscience, in my wisdom, in my knowledge, I took matters into my own hands. And before you knew there was a battle, I had already went down on bended knee. The Lord says, before you had opposition against you, I made intercession for you. God said, I chose to strengthen you before your struggle because I can see further down the road than you can. And church, I'm sorry, but my soul is happy about that. Because I serve a God that when other folks doubt me, talk about me, and disown me, God will look to the Father and begin to talk for me. My brothers and sisters, this is important because it's in this very same chapter that Peter would deny God 3 times before the rooster crowed. But let me tell you, church, Peter denying Jesus was not a surprise to Jesus. Jesus was not surprised when Peter got scared, when Peter got spooked, and when Peter fell down. He knew it was going to happen. Remember his prayer, I prayed for you that your faith won't fail, but actually prevail. What that meant is, I ain't say you wasn't going to fall. I don't want your faith to fail. Watch this. He's going to deny him. But the Lord put a rooster in his path. Oh, I ain't got time to deal with that. But he put a rooster in his path. And Jesus said, before the rooster crow, you're going to deny me. What was the role of the rooster? The role of the rooster was to remind him of what Jesus had said. But the role of the rooster was to ring a bell in his consciousness to bring him to repentance. And I thank God that sometimes God will put a rooster. Oh, bless his name. I'm sorry. I had to do a JP. He'll put a rooster in your midst to bring you back to where you were in him before. And some of us, that rooster was a preacher. Some of us, that rooster was a Sunday school teacher. That rooster, for some of us, was our mama and daddy and Gigi and grandmama and granddaddy saying, sinner, come back to God. We like to cancel people. That ain't Christianity, y'all. That's some other stuff y'all making up. Galatians 6 says, brethren, if any one of y'all is taken in a fault, if you're spiritual enough to bring it up, you got to be spiritual enough to restore them. He says, in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also fall likewise. So Peter said, I prayed for you. And I don't know about you, y'all. I'm glad somebody prayed for me. Had me on their mind. Took the time to pray for me. And can I tell somebody, Jesus' prayers works. Oh, yes, sir. If my grandmama was here, she'd say he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright, oh, help me tonight, and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's our help in ages past, and he's our hope in eternal splendor. I'm in my seat now, but the third thing I want to tell you is you got to use your adversity to become your ministry. When you have turned again, Peter, strengthen your brothers. And I'm here to tell somebody, you're going to fall down, but be like Donald McClurkin and say, we fall down, but we get up, because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up. I'm about to run. Oh, brothers and sisters, but Jesus says, when you've been converted, changed, turned around, the assignment comes with instructions. Strengthen somebody else, because after this you're going to be stronger. After this you're going to be wiser. After this you're going to be better. And oh, brothers and sisters, that makes you a perfect candidate to help somebody as they pass along. Oh, I hear you out there saying, brother pastor, Peter got an F in this. No, church, and all my educators, you understand this. Peter didn't get an F. Peter got an I, which was an incomplete. And anybody who's been in college, you learn to thank God for an incomplete. Hallelujah. Because an incomplete is a temporary grade that's given to a student who has not completed the course because of extenuating circumstances. It's a placeholder grade. And it does not reflect your poor performance, and it is not permanent. And so what I like about it is when you get an incomplete in a class, that's something they give you called a grace period. I'm about to shout all by myself. And in that grace period, what you do is you take the time that they've given you to complete the work. Continue the course and recover the credit. And oh, child of God, I'm done when I tell you. I'm so glad that God gave me a grace period. And I'm so glad I'm still in a grace period. Yes, I'm so glad that when I'm wrong and when I've fallen short of his glory, he will not flunk me. Have I got a witness? And I'm here to tell somebody that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What you're trying to say, Cam? I'm trying to say you may look good, but you ain't always been good. And sometimes there's some falling. Sometimes there's some shortcomings. Sometimes you don't meet every mark. Sometimes you don't dot every I. And sometimes you don't cross every T. But I'm glad that God won't flunk me. Look at somebody and tell them, God don't flunk me. He did not flunk me, and I could have been flunked. I should have been flunked. As many lies as you've told, as many people as you've done wrong, as much gossip as you've kept up, as much stuff you've done in your life, he should have flunked you. But thanks be unto God, he gave you an I, an incomplete, and he said, they fail today, but tomorrow is a brand new day, and I'm gonna give you grace. I'm gonna give you grace. That's why you gotta be careful when folks bring you stuff about other folks and you jump on the bandwagon, because the same person that they're talking about, it could be them today, but it could be you tomorrow. So thank God for grace. And Satan, yes, he's after you. Satan, he wants to take you. But the good news is, you're not a victim, because you got the victory. And the victory is that we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We've overcome by the word of our testimony. So I thank God for my mountains. I thank God for my valleys. I thank God that he brought me through, because if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God can do. So here's my testimony. Through it all, through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And so my job is, when I've fallen, when I've flunked, and he gives me grace, I got a job now. My job is to help somebody as they pass along. I need to help somebody with a word or a song. I gotta help somebody to tell them that they're traveling wrong. And so I need somebody to help me preach this little sermon and tell your neighbor there's grace for that. Whatever you're going through, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. There's healing for that. So don't be weary in well-doing. Your suffering is not in vain. Your trials are not in vain. Your struggles are not in vain. Your problems are not in vain. Your persecution is not in vain. Your hiccups are not in vain. Your handicaps are not in vain. Your shortcomings are not in vain. Because everything that shakes you, God is going to get the best out of it. So the question is, what happens when the shaking ends? What happens when the shaking ends? Well, you're going to come forth not like you used to be. You're going to come forth as pure gold. and I need five people. I'll make number six, who will understand that the next phase of how we're gonna get through this is to praise Him. No, y'all playing. I said, how you get through it? You gotta praise Him in advance. Praise Him in the middle of it. Praise Him when you feel like throwing in the towel. You gotta praise Him when they scandalize your name. You gotta praise Him until He gets done, because when He gets done, there shall be glory after this. Don't pout, praise. I said, don't pout, praise. What you pouting about? Give them glory. Give them honor. Give them praise. Because He who started a good work shall perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. It ain't over. It's just getting started. Lord, I'm gonna hold myself. I feel like running. Praise Him. Praise Him through it. Praise Him through it. Just praise Him through it. And if you're having a hard time thinking about what you can praise Him for, thank Him for waking you up this morning. Thank Him for opening doors that were shut in your face. Thank Him for putting breath in your body. Thank Him for your children being all right. Thank Him for keeping you in perfect peace. Don't pout. Praise. 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 Ah, yeah. I'm done. Hallelujah. 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 I'm gonna praise you through it. Yeah, I'm gonna praise you through it. I'm gonna praise you through it. Somebody here today, here today, you've been going through trial after trial. The accuser, the antagonist, Satan has been on your trail. You know it. Satan's been busy. He's just been busy. He's been job one day, marriage the next, kids after that. And it seemed like Satan just know how to jump into stuff. He, as soon as you get the washer fixed, the dryer go acting up. You just stop the dog from barking and now he won't stop meowing. Just cat acting a fool. You ain't never meowed that loud before. And it just seems like it just doesn't stop. And especially for people who are locked into their purpose, the worst thing you can do is to be locked in with your purpose. People you have moved on from, will find some type of way to try to attach back to you. But that's Satan. Your health. You don't know what's going on. It's good this visit, bad next visit. And you're under attack bodily. Because Satan knows, man, if you're able-bodied, you'll do what God tells you to do. Some of us are driven to distraction. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You just don't focus on what God told you. And so whenever something big shows up, whenever a new person that fits your type shows up, you're driven to that distraction. And God is saying, don't be distracted. I'm trying to get you to destiny. Somebody here, you're dealing with some stuff on the inside of you. If you're like me, you just rehearse stuff. I don't know why I feel like the Lord put a cassette tape in my head and I just can't turn it off sometimes. But it's not the good stuff that I rehearse. It's the stuff that people have said down through the years that keep my mind thinking about what I can't do, who I'm not. And even some of the things that they've said that have been ultimately wrong, they've planted the seed in my head. And so I'm driven to that distraction. But I want to tell you today, whatever your hurt is, whatever's hindering you, God wants to free you from that. Satan is after you. I ain't even gonna play with it. He's after you. He's asking for you. And the only security you have is to get your life in alignment with him. That promise that the Lord put in there, it wasn't just for people. That was for saints. He's praying for his disciples, not people who occupy the world. So if you're here today and you're under attack and you don't have any refuge, please don't let this moment pass you by. Because here's what's true. You're either fresh out of an attack, you're either in an attack, or you're getting ready to go into one. So today, make your decision as we stand all over the building. And if you're here today and you know God was tugging on your heart today, we need you to meet us here at this altar and give your life to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen. God is faithful and he's ready to receive you back into the family. Come on at this time. Come on, church, let's say it together. Yes, Lord. Come on, give God a yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you're here today, don't wait till tomorrow. Yes, Lord. Don't tell God no today. Come on, tell him yes today. Oh, so. Oh, yes, Lord. You to search your hearts. I don't want you to get caught up in all of this fanfare that we're doing today. If you come to church and you given this opportunity to change your life and to be connected with a Savior, you need to take it. Because we don't know the opposition that's coming our way. You need to be in the safety of the Savior. This ain't about us being shy and scared. Get your life in order with God. Satan is so much in us, even in church. He'll start planting stuff in our head while we're sitting in church. Go next week. Do it next time. Don't do it today. Don't be the first. Don't let Satan win. Trust God for your next, because your next is connected to your right now. And right now, God is calling his children home. You don't want to leave here and not be sure that you're going to heaven. You don't want to leave here and not have security. You don't want to leave here and not live the life God wants to give you. Come on, let's say it again. We're waiting on you. Come on.
Yes, Lord.
Come on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
From the bottom of my
heart.
To the depths of my soul. Come on, let's celebrate our sister. Oh, my soul. We're still waiting. We're still waiting. We're still waiting on you. We're still waiting on you. Everybody say, yes, Lord. Come on, come on. We're waiting on you. Come on, come on. We're waiting on you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's celebrate, church. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. We're waiting on you. Oh, yeah. Completely, yeah, yeah, yeah. My soul. Our sister, she's been the first to come. Pastor Cam, why are you taking so long on this? Why? Because eternal to inhale is even longer. It's even longer. And I don't want you to miss your opportunity, church. So if God is tugging on your heart, come now while the blood is running warm in your veins and give God your life in this very moment. We're waiting on you. Come on. Yes, Lord. We're waiting on you. Church, come on. Let's celebrate the decisions. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. We won't laugh at you. We won't look at you funny. We'll rejoice when you come. Come on, come on, come on. Let's praise him, church. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. In the balcony, if you're here today, come on down from that balcony. We're waiting on you. If you're ducked off to the side, come on, we're waiting on you. From the bottom of our hearts. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
completely, yes, completely, yes. My soul said yes. Come on, let's say, I love you, I love you, I love you. We're waiting on you. We're waiting on you.
I love you.
From the bottom.
From the bottom of my heart.
From the depths of my soul.
Of my soul.
Oh, oh. Let's thank God for those who have come. Amen. We are so proud of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the harvest. We thank you for the life that you started all over again today. Thank you for the newness of life, salvation, and God, communion with you. We give you glory, honor, and praise as you're getting ready to do a new thing in their lives. We give you honor and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.